If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
I think changing a tire, sewing, at least, I'm not talking about making a dress or a pair of pants, but I mean, like, just getting a button back on seems like a skill you should have.
I think that's something you can accomplish. We'll work on this. Oh, yeah. All 2023, right. A big year. I feel it.
for putting buttons on.
We're gonna put buttons on everything.
On everything. Just no snaps.
Oh, those you have to snaps. Really... Too easy. You got to work for it, and then you really love it.
All right.
Hey there, I'm Bellamy Young, and I'm Brian's friend from work.
Hi there, listeners. Welcome back to another brand spanking new episode of Off the Beat. As always, I'm your host, Brian Baumgartner, and you just heard from the wonderful, the delightful, the hilarious Bellamy Young. You probably know Bellamy from her role as President of the United States, Melly Grant, in Scandal, or for playing Jessica Whitley in Prodigal Son, or maybe Margaret Honeycroft in Promised Land. Whatever you saw her in, I can only promise you this. She was excellent. And Bellamy has had, well, she's had an incredible journey, which somehow includes being North Carolina's Junior Miss 1987, becoming spokesperson for the Humane Society, and winning Celebrity Jeopardy. Oh, and also going to Yale to study physics. Yeah, that's right. Bellamy seems to be very good at, well, just about everything. And now her journey will include being a guest on Off the Beat, a title. Well, I'm sure she's going to add this to her long list of accomplishments. I'm excited to dive into her story. It has taken her from the Blue Ridge Mountains to the Gulf Stream waters to Broadway and back. I'm not going to make you wait. Here she is, Bellamy Young.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every morning, left over from the night before.
Hi.
What? I'm so happy to see you. I miss you.
I am so happy to see you. What's going on?
You know, it's just a rainy day in New York City, trying to make 2023 meet its possibility. How about you?
Is that an I Love New York cup?
Fuck yeah, it is. Can we curse on your show?
Yes, you can say
fuck
whatever
yeah,
you want.
It is.
Wow. I mean, that is... I know that you live there, but that mug is a cliche. I love it.
I'm a cliche. It's just how it happens, B. It's like how I roll. I literally got this apartment. I was here after college for like a decade. And then I was, you know, LA was so good to me and I'm so grateful to her, but she and I do not understand each other. And so when I got back, I literally went downstairs to the tchotchke shop and got this mug, and it is the only thing I drink out of. The only thing.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. That is amazing. The Big Apple and everything. It's just perfect. First off, we should mention we have just worked together. And do you know what's crazy is we may have worked together before. Did we work together? We never appeared on Criminal Minds.
Oh, yes. I did recur upon that. So there is a bit of a chance. I was Hotch's woman.
Oh, right. Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe it wasn't the same.
Did you kill people? Or did you help people?
I killed people. No, I killed
people. How did you kill them? What? Tell me more.
Well, I was a serial killer. You know, that show, it's the craziest show where the lead of every episode is the guest star.
Yeah.
So it's like you literally show up and you don't know where anything is or who anybody is. And it's like, okay, it's your show.
It's all resting on your shoulders.
It's all on you. And then everybody comes and, you know, arrests you at the end and all that. But yeah, no, it's a crazy show.
It is.
It is a crazy show.
And I will swear, those fans are so devoted 40% of the time that anyone notices me. And I, you know, I'm very grateful for any of it. But usually it's Scandal. But no, 40% of the time it's Criminal Minds. And I couldn't have done 6 episodes. I mean, I was a blip on that radar. But that's a thrive. You know, they're back. They're making shows again.
Are they?
Oh, they surely are.
I think
season,
I'm in
like
jail.
21. You can break out.
I'm in jail. I think I'm not. I don't think I'm coming back. They didn't call me about the reboot. Didn't call me yet. But we should mention, being very careful not to say too much, Bellamy and I are working together on a new show. Do you want to tell us about it? In Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. And actually,
what's
Atlanta,
your new show?
We are doing a show called The Other Black Girl, which was a book that came out, I think, last year by Zakiya Delilah Harris. And she and Rashida Jones have made it into a series. Like, the most interesting thing to me, because I don't want people to feel like, oh, I can't read the book, I don't want to spoil the show, or I don't want to watch the show, I read the book. It's a second swing at this IP. We've really diverged from the book. There's some, of course, amazing similarities and parallel paths, but it's a really cool project to be a part of. And our sweet Sinclair Daniels is our very lead, doing beautiful work. And I don't know, that hack Eric McCormick, he hangs around sometimes.
He's around occasionally. Well, it's been so much fun getting to know you and working with you. I've loved it. It's been so much fun. And back in my hometown, which I'm going to transition like seamlessly to, I think maybe the greatest similarity between you and I is, this is what I would say, that no one on first meeting us would guess that we're from the South.
Do you think that's true? I think
that's true.
I think we reek of it.
You do?
I do. I think there's a kind openness to both of us. Tell me, you know, you can have a conversation with a plastic bowl, and so can I. And that's definitely like a Southern superpower. You know, I mean, okay. No one would think we're from the Bronx, and no one would think we're like Silicon Valley. Where would you peg us? Are we middlers?
Well, I would peg you New York. I would.
You're just flirting with me now.
No, I would. And maybe that's because I know how much you love it. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Yeah, I would put you there for sure.
Well, that's really very kind, but I don't think I merit that.
But you're not.
No, by the way. You're North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina.
Ash Vegas, to those in the know. Whatever.
I don't know. Asheville, home of the... Oh, I'm going to screw it up.
I was going to say, home of the what?
Pig nut chicken farm. Hot nope. Pig chicken. Wow. The chicken nut farm. Nut
I could
farm,
listen to this forever. Just you don't know keep what I'm trying. Talking about?
No. All right.
What are you talking about?
No, there's a big farm there in Asheville.
I don't know.
By the way, Asheville without the N. Not Nashville. Asheville. No,
totally different place. I'm not,
yeah, it's a totally different place.
We have the Biltmore House. The Vanderbilt Estate. Right. We have the Grove Park Inn. We have the Parkway. I'm sure we have a lot of beautiful and scenic farms. I am not aware of this one of which you speak. We have 12 Bones, which is the big barbecue place. 12 Bones, right. 10 Bones. Oh, I'm so vegan. Yep. I don't know how many bones there are.
Yeah. you don't count the bones. You're not interested in the bones.
No.
I'm going to leave that one alone too. How do you think that shaped you?
Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful question. Because I really can feel, particularly in people's singing voices, I feel like I can feel the topography that shaped them. So I feel the mountains inside of me, like the places to hide and then the places of wide open wonder. And, you know, home life was not the best. So that shaped you too, because you're like, hey, I'm going to leave here. But then once you get out, then you know, just knowing that you've come from a place of such beauty and art and food and, you know, like really,
culture.
Yeah. I love my hometown. I really do. I feel it with me always.
Oh, that's awesome. You started singing early.
I did.
Three. Is what I'm told.
Wow, Santa Zell's been chatting you up.
Wait, is that three? Like professional? Is that when you did your first album?
I think we were still, you know, pressing things into vinyl in the 70s. But I'm adopted, and they at the hospital, you know, I was in foster care for like 2 months. And so some wires must have gotten crossed, but the papers that were given to my adopted parents had like two lines on my father and like a paragraph on my birth mother. And it said she liked to sew and sing and, you know, she was an English major. And so my parents who adopted me were like, ooh, we gotta follow up on this, you know, in case we're not supplying what she needs genetically, you know. And come to find out, it was none of it true. It was none of it true.
she didn't sing or sew.
I was so pretty and pink in high school. I sewed everything I wore and I sang everywhere and I did all those things. Yeah. No, but I mean, it turned out to be right for me, but just not necessarily truth in the abstract.
Wait, so they encouraged you to sew and sing?
Well, they just sort of were like, here are some things you might, we hear that you might be into. And honey, I loved it. Singing. My goodness, I would definitely be in jail somewhere if I couldn't sing. It is absolutely my personal freedom and catharsis and joy. And I'll be fussy, you know, I'll be cranky and I'll not know what's going on, but I'll get a song like going in my head and I'll be like, oh, really? Like literally, it's just how my body deals with being alive. But then they, you know, put me in dance. I was never quite as good at that, but still love to sew. Oh yeah. I love all that stuff.
Interesting.
Did you ever sew?
No, I still can't sew.
I want to see that. I'm going to watch. No, it. We're going to teach you. Season 2. That's our goal.
is that I learned to sew. Yeah. I don't sew. I think I should. There are a few things I think I should know how to do.
What?
And well, I mean, I tried recently and I failed at trying to change a tire.
That was going to be the first thing I said too. We really need to do that.
No, I know. I couldn't get the nuts off.
Not just saying
that to try to sound like I'm being perverse. I could not get the lug nuts off of the tire. Turns out I called someone who also couldn't. So I think there was an issue, but I think changing a tire, sewing, at least I'm not talking about making a dress or a pair of pants, but I mean like just getting a button back on seems like a skill you should have.
I think that's something you can accomplish. We'll work on this. Oh yeah. 2023, a big year. I feel it.
for putting buttons on.
We're going to put buttons on everything.
Just on everything. Just no snaps.
Oh, those you have to snap. Really... Too easy. You got to work for it. And then you really love it.
All right. So singing was cathartic for you. Did you enjoy the act of performing? Was that a part of it?
I've always loved to not be me. Like the chance to not be me for if it's 3 minutes, if it's 3 hours, if it's 3 years, what a delight. What a rest. Getting a job is always like getting a vacation. I love it so much. But even then, you know, I know you feel similarly. I think you must like the story, telling the story. It's such a joy. I'm not a person like, I don't want to be the center of attention. Parties scare me. Like Pedro and I got married and it was just us, you know, like I'm not ever going to be like a look at me human, but I love to escape into something and deliver it and have it, you know, have an effect on people. That's fun. And songs are the best because you can feel like you can feel the energy in a room change. You know, it's magical to go on that with somebody. But they, you know, it was the 70s and 80s in North Carolina. And so most of the places you had to perform were pageants. And I
So that was my next question. Because that feels like one would think that that's about being the center of attention. By the way, I totally get you. I feel like I'm the same way. It's something actually I think especially my mom doesn't understand the difference between acting and doing that in front of people, but actually wanting that attention. That's not something that I ever felt like, or, you know, that I wanted, but being a pageant. Now you, North Carolina Junior Miss.
Sure. Now that's a scholarship program, Brian. It's a very different beast.
Oh, it is?
I did pay for most of my freshman year at college. So, yeah.
It did? So, were you singing? Was that your talent? Did you have talents?
Oh, that was, I mean, that's a thing, though, because you have to, they look at your academics and your interview and your, you know, whatever, pageant dress, walking around stuff. Then you do your talent and wait for it. Athletics, which is not something I've ever excelled at.
Wait, so what kind of athletics?
Oh, honey, we had to do a little like a little Jane Fonda routine. And I mean, it was really, really, really hard. And they assessed us because it's real clear who's good at that.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
You had to do, I almost said jumping jacks, but no, like push-ups or like
sit-ups?
Yeah.
It was like a five-minute routine. And you had to hold one of those V thing. I can't even do it now. I was going to do it for you, but I can't, you know, like where your abs hold your whole body in a shape of a V, and you have to do push-ups and you have to do jumping jacks and run around and fitness. Why?
Wow. This was a part of it, but you won.
In North Carolina, I didn't win at nationals. They liked my singing. I had a talent award at nationals, but I was North Carolina. But when I was little, because you know this all starts. It starts in 1975, which was the bicentennial year.
Okay,
my mother made this spectacular long dress hoop skirt bicentennial ensemble, but complete with bicentennial parasol, and you gotta, you know, 5 years old, like walk around with your parasol and your hoop skirt. And yeah, but I am not at all competitive except with like myself. I mean inside to myself, but I'm always like, you should get this, or you know, I hope you win. So I started emceeing.
Really?
Because all her friends were there. My mom's friends were there. So we're still going to have to go. But I just like would say, you know, Scarlett's in a beautiful fuchsia dress tonight. And later she'll tap for us while twirling her baton. And I'd sing Climb Every Mountain while they tabulated the votes. And yeah.
Your Southern accent just came out, by the way, when you were channeling that.
It must.
How big was your hair?
Oh, higher the hair, closer to God.
That's right. That's what they say.
As big as it could get.
Yes.
Wait, I have to ask, did you ever have to in Atlanta pageantify yourself?
No. Well, there wasn't. I don't think there are pageants for boys. I don't know. There was like a cotillion.
Respect. Yes. We cotillioned as yes. well. All right, I'm going to need to, when I see you next, I'm going to see those pictures.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know how much they'll be. All right. We'll see.
Also probably Googleable NB to everyone listening.
I hope not. I really hope not.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Not only did Zyn create the first ever nicotine pouch, we're still America's number one choice for smoke-free, spit-free nicotine satisfaction. It could be because Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients, including naturally derived nicotine salt. Or maybe it's because Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day trial. For anyone worried Zyn won't cut it like traditional tobacco, just ask one of the millions of people who have achieved lasting change. You have lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at Zyn.com/find. That's Zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so this is insane. You're doing pageants.
Sure.
And then you decide you want to go to Yale for physics. Now, you want to be a scientist.
Yeah. It was most.
And you're giving up performing. You're like that. That isn't a thing that you think you're going to. Wait. So talk to me.
Yeah.
You think you're really not going to. You enjoy performing, but then you decide you want to be a scientist. Is this what happens?
Well, I wanted to leave North Carolina. And okay. I don't know how Yale even came into my sphere of knowledge, but somehow I heard that they had singing groups, a cappella singing groups. And I was like, ooh, I can still sing. I was like, if I can get in there, my mom cannot say no. right? Like that's a good enough reason to leave North Carolina. So I applied early and I loved physics. I'd gone to Catholic school and then like public school and like, I never caught on to the, like an exclusionary God, but like physics and science made me feel like I was seeing the face of God, like the truth, like you could really work to the truth. And oh, I just loved it. But again, just, I didn't turn out to be great at it on the world stage, but I was good at it where I was. So I applied early and they put me on the wait list, but I'm Southern. So, you know, I thought they were just being polite and that they would tell me no later. Just let me get used to the no. I applied to 12 other schools and got really good at applications, resubmitted an entire application to Yale. And likely they thought, dear God, just to hush her up. Just let her in.
Let her in.
Just let her in. God.
So you might be the only person in history that went to Yale for physics, but really because they had an a cappella singing group.
You don't know that. Maybe you don't know.
I think you are. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, that's it. So you started singing. You get there and you discover you might not be a scientist after all.
Yeah.
But the singing you enjoyed.
I loved it. I loved it so much. And I was in like the funny singing group, the like co-ed funny singing group. Cause there's like, you know, single sex and serious ones and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted the laughs and to sing the like, you know, Todd Rundgren and like, you know, stuff that I thought was cool. And I had a really good time, but then it all like those last few years in North Carolina kind of caught up with me. And so my beginning of college was extraordinary and diverse and thriving. And by the end, I was a bit of a wallflower and just going through stuff.
Right. Yeah. You do start taking theater classes.
I do. I finished with a double major, English and theater.
Are you career committed then at that point?
What a fun way to ask that.
Thank you.
I know that's such a great, I was committed to staying out in the world. I didn't want to go home. I was game for whatever. I was going to do Actors Theater of Louisville had this internship program that everybody was always in the hospital. I mean, they worked you horribly. I think, but I was like, yes, I'm going to do that. And my friend, Mike Zimmer, who is now Rob Marshall's like almost partner, you know, secondhand. Mike was like, come down to New York with me today. I'm an audition for a tour of Meet Me in St. Louis. And I'm like, I should write my paper, but of course I'm not going to write my paper. So I go down and got the job. And so I did the First National and Meet Me in St. Louis instead.
Unbelievable. and that's how your career began.
Yeah. And then that, you know, after the tour, I got a little apartment on the, like, oh, where was it? 80th, I guess. And between second and third, and just start going to the calls and doing summer stock and doing regional theater and doing stuff off Broadway and, but musical, 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 musical. And, you know, a couple of Law and Orders as you do.
Okay. So you were
soap opera.
So you were dipping your toes in to some film and television stuff as you were auditioning for theater.
I mean, you really have the stink of musical theater on you. And like, especially back then, New York was pretty bifurcated, you know, so I feel lucky I got in there.
Right. I do want to mention in 97, you make your Broadway debut as Mary in the original cast of Cy Coleman's The Life. Did that feel like a dream come true?
Yeah, it really did. And it came out of nowhere. And I just moved to my apartment on 76 between Broadway and West End. And my mom was actually here and we were unloading boxes. I got a super last minute audition. I wasn't going to go because we're moving. And she's like, just go. And I don't even take like dance clothes. I have to pull sheet music out of the file cabinet at the casting offices. They kept me a long time, but then they're like, okay, thank you. And I walked from 43rd to 76th. Because I was like, my mother's going to be so mad at me because I like left her unpacking and then I tanked this audition. And I swear as I walked into the apartment, my landline telephone rang. And my mom was there for me to get my first Broadway show.
That's amazing.
I know. And then we got the sewing machine out and we made some curtains. Not kidding at all.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. So you decide, because you're a musical theater actor, and at this point, Merrily We Roll Along, Faust, Book of Days, you've done all this theater. You're going to move to LA. Now, this is true. Your agent said you're too old.
Yeah. I was 29. Yeah. I moved like right before I turned 30. And of course, there was a guy. There's always a guy. So there was a guy. We'd done a little movie. But so I went with very low expectations. And I, you know, the stuff I'd been sent out, but I was with Gersh at that point, and the stuff they were sending me out on wasn't that interesting. And I had absolutely no concept of Los Angeles, either its physical, geographical scope, or like that there's a lot of work, or there was at that point. And just got really lucky really fast, not in terms of a big break that put me on the map, but just being a working actor, which is the thing that makes me the happiest of all. You know, now it's at a little bit different level, but all I want is like to get to work. I love it. So it was, LA was always very kind to me in that regard. And yet we were both, LA and I would look at each other like total side eye, like, really? You, are you going to wear that? And I'd be like, are you judging me? So it was very much square peg round hole, but I'm grateful for every minute.
I mean, this is not exaggerating. Truly, during this time, you begin guest starring on literally the biggest shows in television.
I never did Friends. I really regret that I never got to do Friends. I never did The Office either. Whatever.
Okay. Well, first of all, I misspoke. You start doing guest stars during this time on literally the biggest dramas in television.
Yeah.
I mean, X-Files, ER, West Wing, NCIS, Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice. Yeah, there was a Frasier. But you were getting amazing experience on huge shows at the time, and you're loving it.
Loving it. Because you learn everything, you know, from how people treat each other to like what's expected of you to, you know, all the things that they didn't cover. All my acting classes were very like, let's, you know, are we going to read the scene cold or should we rehearse it? But it wasn't like how to deal with a line producer or, you know, get there early enough so that you're in the makeup chair at your call time, not 10 minutes after your call, you know, like just how to work. And then you see who you want to be like and who you don't. And
that's right.
Is the best, you know, grad school of my life, just to job around and eavesdrop on everyone.
Yeah.
And they were always like, okay, David Caruso, did you ever go over there and do those? Miami, whatever?
No.
CSI, what?
I never did a CSI. No, right. That was.
There's plenty of, you know, you're just like jaw on the floor behavior.
From Caruso?
Well, in those days, he's a wonderful human now, and I have no way of knowing that. But, right. You know, there was a time, an apex moment where you were just like, wow, that's not what I want to be, you know?
Right.
Other than employed in a franchise that's going to go forever. I'm a happy girl. I'm not the girl that's like, oh, another season. I'm like, five more seasons. I just want to show up.
Right. I don't want to bore people because I have discussed this before, but I want your impression of this because you seem so, so positive. I have said many times, the hardest job is the guest star job, you know, and I think it teaches you one, as you said, who you want to be, but two, really teaches you how to work and adapt in different settings. Because as a guest star, often you don't know the crew, you don't know anyone's name. I mean, did you find that to be challenging as well?
Every time, because every time it's different. And, you know, it helps you practice humility because you just have to ask questions. The hardest part for me is always the crew, because you don't know how they're used, like how fast or slow they're used to running. You don't know, are they going to do 35 takes or do I need to do this in one? And asking every question that comes to mind just wastes everybody's time. So that sixth sense of trying to mind read and intuit, you know, it's like, those child of alcoholic days when you're like walking on eggshells all the time. It's those, like, it's that sixth sense that you kind of pull into play, and it's different on a 1 hour than it is on a half hour. And like, those are big lessons, but I always just sort of stepped to it from the, like, it was school. School was always something I was good at. Like, I understood that paradigm. And so I just sort of always stayed in that paradigm for all those years. Like, oh, what am I going to learn today? Oh, that's really interesting. Oh, I'm not going to put my chair there. Okay. All right. You know, but it's so hard, and it never gets easier. You're always other. So it's humbling. It's instructive, but it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of the shows I mentioned, Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice, they have a little something in common. Chandra Rhimes. While you were working on those shows, did you have any direct contact with her, or did you get to know her or her team a lot as you're working on those shows?
Sweet Linda Lowy cast for Shonda for 100 years. And I auditioned for Linda a lot. So it's Linda that I knew and all of her beautiful team. And I was in the Private Practice world as they spun off from Grey's Anatomy. So it was like a 2-hour Grey's, but I was within the womb of the nascent little Private Practice. So I wasn't with her then at all. And the first time I met her was in my audition. And my audition was, I mean, quicker than you can, you know, drink a sip of water.
Your audition for Scandal. Okay, so you had not met her.
No, I had three lines in the pilot, and I was going to work the next day for Scandal. And so they brought like five of us in, and I go in, and there's only so many ways you can say two lines. And so it's all very fast. And it's also a little intimidating because she's there, and also her producing partner, Betsy. Everybody's sort of playing the room, but Shonda this time to give the adjustment. And all I could think about, Tony, I just worked with Tony Goldwyn. He just directed me on Dirty Sexy Money. And so I was just thinking about like standing beside him. He was just always sort of beside me in the room in my mind, and those, it was sort of informing it. And then they, you know, I was the one that day they got the call and worked the next day and was supposed to just be on a couple of shows. And then they let me stay the whole damn time. So I got to know Shonda pretty well. But no, up until that point, not a bit in the world, no.
So really, you don't have any idea this is going to exist beyond a couple, three episodes.
No.
And now that you're telling me this story, it sure sounds like it. Because when you go in and you're working the next day or 2 days later, whatever, like, this is not, they're not taking their time with it because they don't think that they need to.
No.
That's crazy. And then you just stayed. You just put your name on the trailer and said, I'm not leaving.
Well, I dressed up for that second table read. Honey, there's another Southern superpower. I dressed up. I was like, oh, we got picked up to series. And we read the script, and Shonda came around and sort of told everybody what they'd be doing. That first season was only 7 episodes. So she kind of went around. She got to me and she's like, and I want to write a presidential divorce. And so I think you'll be here 2, maybe 3 episodes. And my heart, like, tried to keep smiling, but my heart like went through the floor. Like, I was so sad. And then they just, I don't know, they just let me fight with people. They were like, hey, that kid knows how to fight with people. I was like, yeah, let me do it. I'll do it. But they didn't buy me a wig till that second season. That was just my own clip in. So. That's how you know they're not taking you seriously.
Wow. What do you think it was about the character or you that the writers started to latch onto? The fight?
I think I think they started to realize they could attenuate the leverage of the love triangle. Like, that there was more to explore there than just to like make it so easy and get rid of the wife. And you know, not that it would have been easy in that scenario with those characters, but it was messier to keep the other woman around, the other woman being the wife.
Right. When did you find out that you were going to be sticking around?
They called. I went to India with my friend Jules, who's a great production designer. And I reckon I didn't have a phone that worked out of the country. And so I got back in the country and my manager was like, I've been trying to call you. And I was like, oh no, thinking I'd done something wrong or, you know, I was going to get fired from a job I didn't have. Or he's like, they're making you a series regular on Scandal. And I was like, I wish I'd bought that ring in Jaipur. I was so mad. I'd gone so super budged to India. And I was like, oh, if I'd only known, we could have slept in a hotel that night. It would have been great.
How did you find out that eventually you were going to become president?
I don't even remember. I think it was...
Was it something you were expecting?
Not at all. I think Jeffy was supposed to be president. I mean, he gets voted president, doesn't he? Do you find that you don't really remember what happened on shows that you've done? Because I
consistently. What show were we on together?
No, I don't know. I'll see you there, though. We also shot a lot of alternate stories. Like, I still don't really. Okay. Lena Dunham was on Scandal at one point, and either she lives or dies, but we shot it both ways, and I don't remember. At any rate, Jeffy was supposed to win. Which if I think he still did, and then something happened. We shot him, or he had a heart attack or something. But everyone thought Hillary was going to win. And yes. Shonda had put a lot of sweat equity into that, in that direction. And I think was really gutted, as some of the rest of us, about that you know, that it went another way. And so I think it is only because she did not win that Melly became president. I mean, I've never had a long conversation with Shonda about this, and I don't know that she's ever gone on record, but I don't think it was ever the plan.
Interesting. You shoot Scandal. Awards, Critics' Choice Television Award for your role there. Beloved character on an amazing show, 7-year run. How was that for you, having to say goodbye when it was over?
It was, I think everybody was tired and understood, because she'd been very forthright from the beginning about saying that this was a story to juxtapose with Grey's Anatomy, which can and probably will go forever. She was like, this is a story. I know where it starts and I know where it ends. So we always knew we were on borrowed time. And so we were grateful for every season. Every season was a different number of episodes. Like, everything was very fluid. And every time we get another season, we'd be like, yay. And then when she was like, we're finishing, we were like, copy. Josh Molina was like, but my daughter's still in college. I'm just like, sorry. But also at that point, those sweet fuckers, I love them so much. Like, we were a family. There was no way. Like, we weren't going to be together every day, but there was no way we were not going to always be together. So it didn't feel so grievous, because we get to watch everybody do magical other things.
What do you think it was about that group that makes it? Because it's not always like that. What do you think it was about that ensemble that made you all so close?
I mean, I think Carrie. I think she's just a wonderful, humble, big-hearted leader. She was like the quarterback of the team, and she still is. Like, it was just very clear from the beginning that it was, you know, nobody left behind sort of situation. Even when we renegotiated, you know, so often there's a squeaky wheel somewhere, or just people who are super young and think their now is their forever, or, you know, so many different dynamics that can sort of pull you apart. But we were all old enough to be grateful. And
right.
And if Carrie wasn't gonna, I remember Today's Show, like season 5, Today's Show wanted to do something live about the premiere. And we were all like, I don't want to get up at 1:30 to be ready for camera at 3:30, but, you know, like complaining. And, you know, Carrie's just sitting in the makeup chair listening to us all. She's like, well, I'm going to be here. I think it's amazing. A season 5 show should get attention like this. And we were all like, you know, just like, yeah, that's right. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. That's fuck. You're right. What am I thinking? So, right. And everybody's just also family people. So it's been nice to see everybody's kids grow up. And it's a long time to share. You have that. You have that with your peeps.
Yes. No, we do. And it's special. And you bring up age, I think, is a part of it. People who have a diverse experience in the industry and know how difficult it can be and feel very lucky to have found a show that you feel good about and a collection of people that you're lucky to be with. I think that brings appreciation.
Yeah.
Exactly what you said. Yeah.
And nobody was ignored. Everybody had heavy lifting to do. Everybody got great monologues. Everybody got great storylines. So everybody felt like they left it on the field and it was time to go take a shower.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Ready to start your new journey? Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Enjoy Zyn nicotine pouches for 10 days and discover a fresher way to experience nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. Here's how to get started with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Simply pick your strength and varieties online and check out. Once your Zyn nicotine pouches arrive in the mail, enjoy pure nicotine satisfaction at your leisure. After your 10-day trial, let us know what you think. If Zyn isn't for you, no hard feelings. It's that simple. Order online at Zyn.com, that's Z-Y-N.com, to start your new journey today with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you leave, you immediately have another show. Now it was a pilot that didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
And then you take a little personal hiatus.
Just didn't have a job. What did I do?
You went traveling?
Oh, well, yes. Oh, I did. I went, my sweet now husband, he performs a lot. And I was like, well, I don't have anything to do. I'm going to go be his groupie. But then sweet cop Scott Foley was doing Whiskey Cavalier. And so he let me do a job with him in Prague while I was over there. And so there, you know, we got a little bit of work in here and there. But yeah, I did. I saw a lot of stuff.
How long were you traveling?
As long as they'd let me. I don't even remember. I mean, I feel like I was gone a couple of months. I went to like 8 places maybe. I remember.
Okay.
Yeah. Dubrovnik and Warsaw and Prague and Stockholm and just all over the place.
You began in 2019 working on Prodigal Son,
yeah,
a procedural show that I've heard you talk a little bit about. To me, that is a gotta be a challenge as an actor to work on a procedural show where there is kind of a reset. There was more of a continuing storyline in that than on most, but talk to me about Jessica.
Well, the good, I can say I hear you about the procedural, and it's tricky when you're with a cog within that part of the machine. But Jessica was so on the periphery of that, and such a nut bar and a real character that it was never boring. And it brought me back to New York, you know? They were like, a show, but it's in New York. I was like, I'll do it. And they said, do you want to know what it is? And I was like, no, not really. But it's Tom Payne and Michael Sheen and just Lou Diamond Phillips. And, you know, not everybody was easy on that show to juxtapose it with Scandal. But the people I love, I still love really, really deeply. And the work was always like a masterclass. So that I never had to be like, who we killed this week and how we're going to figure it out. I never had to do any of that. I just had to spar with like really great actors and be this fantastic, a character I would just never. That's what I love about our jobs, Bri. We get to live so many lives in one lifetime. Yes. And that life was so fun. Drunk fucking Upper East Side Jessica. Ugh, I miss her horribly. I miss her little snark. I miss that she was really in on her own joke. Like, I really miss her. She was a ball of fun.
Did the darkness of the show get you down?
I was mostly safe from it. I really was. I wouldn't have wanted to, have to spend all day staring at someone locked in a box or, all that kind of stuff. I look at people who do years and years of like vampire shows or something. And I think that would really, that's hard. Especially because, I get a little hyper at work. It makes me real happy. I get joyful. They have to calm me down, So
I know
it's hard, but Jessica didn't have to mess with any of that. And if she was around it, she was drunk and so checked out. So in that way, she was safe from it all. What's the darkest thing you ever did?
Oh boy. Well, I mean, we were referring to me playing a serial killer, so I don't know by inherent definition if you can be darker than that. I do get more comments from my family about playing a pedophile.
Deep. Yes. Okay.
That's fairly dark.
That's definitely dark. There's no fairly about it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's well. The character was Law and Order, SVU. The thing about that one to me is it was not a large role. There was not a whole lot of exploring to have been done. So I didn't really have to like get
internalize it. Right.
Yeah. I didn't have to. Yeah. It was, serial killer. I did a lot of darkness and, we were the opposite in that. In theater, it was dark. There was a lot of darkness. Whereas you were like, merrily we roll along, happy.
Well, I was a hooker who, a stripper who became a hooker who went to LA to be a porn star. So it's not all levity. All right.
Fine. Okay. That's true. What's the darkest you've ever played?
The deepest I went on prepping darkness was Lou Diamond Phillips and I did a movie about Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Yes.
And that was, I feel like that was the time that I got scared the most. That's the project because it was a film. And so it happened for a very long amount of time. It was mostly a two-hander. So a lot of it was just me and Lou and it was really tricky. It was rewarding work. We had a great director. Lou is obviously a wonderful man and I adore working with him and I adore, he takes care of you in a lot of wonderful ways. To go inside that world, that mind, I don't want to call it to me. I don't want to be near it, Yeah.
Right.
Just scares me.
Do you want to go back and do theater?
Yes, I do. Oh my God. I did a play this fall, just a fundraiser for new, beautiful play called Bonded. And it was very hard work. So it was a very deep issue, but it felt so rewarding. And again, just to be in the room and to ride, it's like surfing, right? It's like emotional surfing. You just go on the ride with people. Do you ever think about it?
Going back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've started two more.
Is there a role that you're just like, I've got to do this?
Well, here's the crazy thing. Like, of the, like, American canon, mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention any role specifically. I'm not going to do that. But I will say this, that a lot that I played, I'm now more the age for correctly now.
I understand.
So that intrigues me. That intrigues me. You released an album.
I did.
Far Away, So Close, about growing up in North Carolina.
So it's just all songs I love and songs that have stories. I had sung the national anthem at a Dodgers game. We like Scandal went and like did the whole, somebody threw out the pitch and like Carrie called the names and I sang that, you know, it was like a whole thing. And then our very, very kind Gladiators were like, really started in on me, like, you need to make an album. And I was like, oh my God, you know what? I'm never going to have this chance again. I better do that. They're so right. And I'm so glad I did. I loved every second of it. And yeah, and I'm still proud of it. Yeah.
Congratulations. You're amazing. All right. Talk to me about the other Black girl. Are you having fun?
I'm having the best time. Oh my God. I get to work with this guy named Brian. He's sort of fun. I don't know if you know him, but he like raises every scene. It's just, it's like there on the page and then Brian and then Sinclair. Oh my God. I love her so much. We've had really beautiful times, she and I, but I've loved all of our directors. I'm interested in the story. The character I'm playing in particular was in so much flux. Like they really didn't know who she was. They wanted to change so much from the book, but then they didn't want to go too far. And is she going to be super comedic or is she going to be super dry? And yes to this wig, no to that wig. Use your own hair. Don't wear this clothes. Don't wear that. It was really existentially disorienting. So that challenge was also fraught, but rewarding. Like I feel like we came out the other side of it, but it's been wild. I love our showrunners. Do you love our showrunners? Don't say no.
Yes. No, I do. It's very interesting. Tonally, I think it's really interesting. And I get nervous because I don't ever want to say something that I'm not supposed to say.
Yeah.
I've been accused of that, of saying the wrong thing in the past. So I can't really say much about it. But here's what I think we should do.
What?
Is I think when it comes out, then we should reconvene again.
Yes.
Maybe get that guy Eric and Sinclair and the whole gang.
Let's do that. It's such a good group of people.
Talk about it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
we can tell the stories that we can't tell now.
Okay, it's a deal.
Listen, I am so glad to have met you.
You are so
one, talented and funny and genuine and just, I mean, let me tell you guys something. Amy, by the way, Amy is her real name.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we're, I don't know if that's a secret, but
no,
it's not a secret.
I don't know.
Actually, tell the story. I mean, I don't know if people know this. The history of Hollywood, there can only be one person with your name.
That's right. And some little girl took Amy Young. I thought it was going to perhaps be sort of like Rose at the end of Titanic or something, right? And I'd go to her like and pay like homage and be like, please, may I use my name now? And she'd give me her blessings. But no, it's some child. And so it was impossible for me to be Amy. I could be Amy M. Young in Equity, the theater union, but SAG, right. That's why you have so many weird named actors, is because you can only be one person. I think the asterisk is Vanessa Williams, because the other Vanessa Williams had the name first, but then we knew Vanessa from Miss America and from her singing and everything. So they sort of like, maybe they make her use her middle and I don't know. Anyway,
they grandfathered her in.
She's the only person I know of that has a name that is another person's name.
How did you come up with Bellamy?
Oh,
I mean,
it's just tragic.
Amy.
It's just tragic. I was trying to be Amanda or Amaryllis or anything that I could still be Amy. And they were all, not Amaryllis wasn't taken, but You can see why. But my dad's best friend sort of did all the dad stuff, like cotillion, when he passed away. And so it's like a mushing of our names. So it's like, oh, I'm Southern. So I thought people, I could have called myself works. Tennessee or Raleigh. Raleigh was on the list. Raleigh Young. I'll tell you honestly, ooh, I just told Pedro
that's a
this.
Good name.
I know it is, but then I couldn't get back to Amy. The name I wanted was Susanna Grant. That's the name I wanted. She's already a very famous producer and good at what she does, and so I couldn't have that name either. But I got to be Melly Grant, so I think it's close.
Susanna. So you were just making that out of thin air.
Making things up. But Raleigh Young was on the list.
Raleigh Young. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. But wait, was Susanna Grant something you considered, or were you going to keep Young?
I was just making a list, just a desperate, desperate list.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy thing, right? Is that, like, if you have to change, there's no rules.
And I was like, I want to not make people uncomfortable. And then I was like, oh, but I could be this whole Violet Beauregard or whatever, you know? So... yeah, but then I just tried to pick something that had Amy in it so people could still call me Amy.
All right. Well, whatever your name is, you're delightful.
You're delightful.
No. Uh-huh. Like, seriously, I can be a curmudgeon and people get scared of me. You're a light.
You're, and I don't believe it. I am just reflecting back your son. You are a delight and I'm so happy to know you now. I am. And thanks for inviting me on for this fun.
Well, I'm going to come to New York and I want a mug. I want a mug.
Baby, it's yours.
I don't want
set
yours.
Of six.
No. I want
well,
to have
not
a matching.
You're mine. Don't be crazy.
No. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you would offer yours.
No, it's too much luck now. It's too much loving it.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. I love you to pieces.
I love you too. Bellamy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And I'm with you. I am not a guy who says, ugh, another season. No, I'm with you. Five more seasons of The Other Black Girl. That sounds just fine to me. To all of you out there listening, thanks for stopping by. I'm going to be back next week, same time, same place, with another phenomenal guest. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram, if you haven't already, @OffTheBeat, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, please. All right, subscribe to the show. I cannot tell you how important that is. Thank you for all your support, and we will see you next week. Off the Beat is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Ling Lee. Our senior producer is Diego Tapia. Our producers are Liz Hayes, Hannah Harris, and Emily Carr. Our talent producer is Ryan Papa Zachary, and our intern is Sammy Katz. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by the one and only Creed Bratton.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.